Welcome to Augmented Humanity. Our guests are modern explorers working at the intersection of technology and the humanities. They help us to understand ourselves and the worlds we create in this digital age. They are thinkers, creators, makers, and academics working in diverse fields like history, the visual arts, communications, and comparative religion. I'm your host, Craig Goldsmith.
I'm your host, Ellen Dornan.
On this program, we're joined by Patrick Moore and Tim Roberts, the director and deputy director of New Mexico Historic Sites, a division of the New Mexico Department of Cultural Affairs.
Thank you both so much for talking with us today. This is just so interesting hearing about how you're celebrating throughout the winter season without allowing anybody to come and gather and celebrate in person. And I guess I want to look back a little bit to the summertime. You all pivoted during the pandemic really quickly, and you had online summer camps and you had classroom programs sort of ready to go pretty fast. And so what did those look like when you were reaching out and trying to engage kids? You know, maybe normally the parents would pack their kids up and send them off, but all these kids are sitting at home with their screens. What does summer camp and virtual classrooms look like when you're doing it all online?
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging that we did pivot quickly. There were a lot of DCA entities that were challenged with that, and they came up with some things quickly. We could do book reading programs, etc. I think the reason we were able to pivot quickly was because of the quality of staff that we have. When we started interviewing instructional coordinators back in 2016 and all the way along, it was, tell us what you know about doing programming around Common Core curriculum standards for the state of New Mexico. And if you had a blank look, it was kind of a, well, we got a little hill to climb. And so we hired people and they were ready. And we'd been implementing this along the way. They were ready to jump into the fray right away. And we've done so many innovative ways of storytelling rather than saying, well, this is our site and this is what happened here. But how do we communicate that to a range of audiences? And a value, too, is working around standards is that they really ask sets of questions for different age groups. And while they're developed around K-12 education, they're equally applicable to everybody all the way up to senior groups who come in on hostel tours. We had a lot of ability in our hand. But the challenge of getting it done is how do we integrate those into ways that are going to continue to tell that story? And it was a challenge at first because, one, you know, people had not been Zooming. They had not been working in this format. And this is really where we've got great staff. And we had the kind of technology resources at our disposal and how to use them was great. Tim Roberts comes from a long background of doing digital media. Ethan Ortega, who's our manager up at Los Luceros. I'm seeing heads nod. Ethan's a rock star and really has created some dynamic ways of thinking. And even in a previous time, I think a lot of people on our staff have skills. So when we were able to start blending them together, they were able to roll them out relatively quickly. And the great part of it was the connection we quickly discovered as we were putting them up by teachers around the state. The response we had for them, thank you for creating something. We're trying to build things around. And sometimes it's how do we look at STEM issues with historic sites, which you wouldn't think about, but we could talk about a lot of facets. You know, how does water flow? How does parabolas work when it comes to projectiles? And so tying that in was great. And we pretty much ran that through the remainder of the school year. And that's when we jumped into recognizing that so many New Mexicos were going to be without summer camps. You know, my children are at home and usually they would have these enriching experiences. So that's when we started putting together this list of virtual summer camps. I'll be straight up. I thought I was keeping tabs on everything that was coming out. I was checking them all as they were coming through and they're like, these are great. And I'm posting on my own Facebook page. I love my staff. But it wasn't until a couple months ago that I had to go back and find one. And I was scrolling down. I know where it was. The dozens of these things that our staff put out. It was just incredible, the variety of things. And they've got a whole series of things that are loaded. And Tim, he was really key in kind of helping work people around. Hey, I've got an idea. Let's run with it. It was always about how can we build the fire and get excited about things.
I have to say, I checked out some of the summer camp sessions and the programs that I checked out were really well done, really high quality. Did you all have some sort of quality management? How did all these interpreters and rangers end up being such good video producers and new media experts? I know you had some expertise on the staff to start with, but did people have to learn a lot? Did people teach each other?
I'll take one quick step back. Obviously, we're going through the worst public health crisis in over 100 years here in the United States right now. So it's hard to sometimes find a silver lining in that. But one of the things that really presented itself as an opportunity for us early on during the pandemic was that we could kind of take a step back and kind of self-evaluate what we were doing with historic sites. And we had lofty aspirations and plans to really increase our foundational training for our interpretive staff over the last 3 years. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, they were too busy, right? You know, we have 8 historic sites across the state, and we do dozens of events during the year and 400 acres of property to manage and over 100 historic structures. So it's sometimes difficult to get that foundational training. So when the historic sites first shut down in March, the first thing we did was get all of our educators together, all of our interpreters together, and really just take a step back and refocus our energy in best practices in interpretation, really kind of rebaptize ourselves in what we do as public historians and interpreters. And I think that really was the foundation on which all these programs were built. You know, the ultimate goal of any interpretive program is to create that emotional connection with the visitor so that visitor understands why that resource needs protecting or needs conserving. And that's a really broad way of putting it, but that's the crux of it. If we can impart to somebody when they come visit our sites why this is important, why it matters to them by developing some sort of connection to a universal concept that they relate to, even if they're not from the Southwest, if they're all the way from New York City or something like that, that's what we need to do. So by really focusing on that with these virtual summer camps and our education programs and making that the critical element, I think that's why they succeeded. And it didn't matter whether or not we were talking about apple harvesting at Los Luceros or public health in New Mexico at Fort Stanton. Our rangers and our educators were able to find those ways to connect with the public and bring those to a virtual format. So I think that was why we succeeded. Now, technologically speaking, there was a learning curve. Not all of our educators and interpreters had experience in digital humanities, but they understood the importance of the work we were doing, and they jumped in head first. They worked together, a lot of collaboration in terms of how to pull these things off. And again, another silver lining of this, as Patrick mentioned before, was the fact that they could more easily come together with the tools that we were using to communicate. Everybody's been able to elevate themselves to a new level of interpretation, I think, and teach themselves new skills to keep ourselves relevant and keep doing what we love to do, you know, engaging with the public.
I'm hearing something really critical here. It sounds like certainly a silver lining of the pandemic was, in a sense, extended professional development that allows you to kind of refocus on the very mission of the department and why you're doing this. And I get how if you're not spending your whole day, in a sense, doing visitor management, collecting visitor fees and where's the bathroom and some kid who threw up out in the parking lot, that you can spend time on your interpretive work. But I'm curious, the pandemic's not going to go on forever, or at least I'm presuming that it's not. Are you thinking about or talking about how to keep that interpretive momentum going when people are back at the sites and keeping that work going without falling back into what might have been the old routine? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. This has always been the dream about how do we go about doing this. And a lot of the things that we're putting into place are designed to have both virtual and on the ground legs. You know, I mentioned the Orno program that our staff member put together. That's something that can be done in person too. And how do we move forward that? And how do we continue this relationship? How do we continue this connection to our public and telling our stories is going to be critical. And I think at the same time, it's also opened a new way of thinking that people who have had to step outside for 9 months about, well, I get up and I go and do this. I think those things are really cool and I'd love to get to it. Now I've done it. We actually already saw this starting to manifest itself when people are coming through the door on that 1 month. Let me tell you about some really cool things. Did you know what you can do with yucca? You know, great. So I think that it's going to be transformative. You know, not to jump too far ahead, but we're looking at our junior ranger programs, which we're kind of figuring out a new term for that. But those are elements too that are going to be universal. So if you happen to come into the state of New Mexico from the east and you visit Bosque Redondo, you're going to discover there's something else to learn at Coronado and Jemez. And if you go south at Taylor and Zeldin, or if you go into the Sacramentos, you're going to be down there with Stanton and Lincoln. what can I discover? What can I learn? And those programs are going to be integrated to the point where I see the bigger whole as a result of it. So there are a lot of other elements that are sort of emerging in tandem with this as all ships rise with this opportunity. It should be great for the foreseeable future. We hope this is, I know it's a no-no term, the new normal for the way we operate.
I have some questions about how you're taking the lessons that you learned by doing the virtual summer camps and the virtual classroom and carrying them through to these holiday and seasonal celebrations. What kind of offerings are you going to have for kids? What did you learn that you're carrying through and using in your programming for reaching younger audiences?
The just sheer number of programs that our staff was able to put together over the last 8 months, 9 months, my goodness, it's been that long. So we've learned quite a bit about what works, what doesn't work, what resonates with people, the sorts of activities and things of that nature. And, you know, it's not always about the heavier approach to interpretation. Sometimes it's just doing something a little lighter. You know, I think we can all use that right now. Our interpretive staff are going to be doing a variety of activities. One thing we did find that really resonated well with people was the idea of creating something in tandem with our arrangers and interpretive staff. So whether that's a craft or an activity or something like that, we actually took our virtual programs from two different sites. We actually came into the home physically a little bit in the sense that we created packets that we worked with the state library system to distribute to children across northern and central New Mexico from Bosque Redondo and programming there, and then also Los Luceros.
Physical packets?
Yep. They were sent out through the library system and through the school system. Actually, some of them were even handed out at bus stops when lunches were being handed out up in northern New Mexico. And so kids could actually follow along those activities. We provided the materials for them, and then it was augmented by the virtual elements as well. So also, you know, there are certain things that just are kind of universal to cultures across the world, food being one and then music being another. So we're going to be doing quite a few programs that integrate both of those kind of cultural elements that are so critical around the holidays. So I think it's going to be a meaningful holiday season for us at Historic Sites, and we're just excited about sharing some of our favorite traditions with a broader public.
I think it's really cool that you're trying to get some physical stuff into people's hands also, because I think a lot of people are sort of missing anything to do with stuff that's not little heads on screen this year. Before I forget, I do want to circle back to something that came up at the beginning of this segment, which is you had mentioned that as part of the summer camps, you're hitting some Common Core standards in the curricula. So am I correct in that some of these new hybrid programs that you're developing are actually sort of ready to go if teachers want to use them in the classrooms? I mean, that this is something that they absolutely can use to hit their standards.
Absolutely. That's really been the goal we've had from the outset. And we understand that dollars are scarce and that resources are scarce and time is scarce. The way that teachers have to fit everything within certain set of boxes. Growing up here in New Mexico, you know, we went and did our fourth grade trip to the Palace of the Governor. So, you know, you learned about it. I'm not exactly sure what that fit. I guess that was the year we were teaching New Mexico history. So it did fit. Oh my gosh, realization. But we're realizing that for all of our areas, there's an opportunity to do something that's going to check the boxes. And you hate to say that checking the boxes is important, but it is.
It is.
For teachers, it's important. And how is it that we tie those parts together so that if you're online, you can do it. And we've had connections from people who do homeschooling who said, these are great. And you want them not just to fit the box when they come out, but for our young people to say, I know about my state. And I think as Tim touched on earlier, we want every New Mexican to be able to see themselves, why it matters. Even somebody who travels from out of state or from another country, when they come to our historic site, our goal is to say, I see how I connect to this place in one way or another, then we're doing our job correctly.
Thank you so much, Patrick and Tim, for being with us today. And if you would like more information about all of these programs, you can visit nmhistoricsites.org. You can also follow the department on Facebook or subscribe to their YouTube channel. Simply Google New Mexico Historic Sites. Augmented Humanity is a program of the New Mexico Humanities Council, produced in partnership with KUNM-FM. You can visit us online and find out more about our programs at nmhumanities.org. Our theme music comes courtesy James Whiten, and we've had production assistance from Tristan Klum. I never
that I would become a